In my 25 years reporting on education, I've found that immigrant kids still face some of the same obstacles that I experienced growing up in this country. Claudia Galindo is an associate professor at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County. In her research, she's found that some of the widely held assumptions about immigrants and education are really cultural misunderstandings.
First, we work with a mainstream definition of parental involvement. For example, some people may say that immigrants are not so involved in their kids' schooling experience, but they are framing their parental involvement from a one-way perspective. Education in the USA is highly related with schooling. However, when we think about some Latino communities, for example, we have the notion of education where we have aspects of schooling, but we also have aspects related with moral child development. So having a kid that is bien educado or way behaved is a very important component for some immigrant parents.
Is that one of the things that we measure?
In the schools?
Yes.
No. And when you think about testing, they don't pay attention to these skills. Following instructions, you know, showing interest in learning, sharing with peers. Those are very important behaviors that kids need to have to learn. Of course, when we're thinking about testing, we don't take into account those aspects.
Because we don't measure that, we often miss the boat.
Yes.
I mean, schools often make assumptions about these children and don't take those things into account, and therefore begin to label children based on some very narrow barometers and criteria.
Yes. It's fascinating. Kids bring to school so much richness, not only in terms of their customs, their traditions, their behaviors, that if teachers could, in some ways, bring those positive aspects into the instruction, into the classroom, we will get much ahead.
You've done some breakthrough research along with UC Berkeley folks that get at the question of whether these kids are ready to learn or not. And that is where that relationship with parents is so crucial.
And that's extremely important, even more, because when we think about Latino communities, on average, they have a different notion of what their role is in the education of their kids. So when I work with some Latino mothers, for example, they think that they are doing the best they can by maintaining a separate environment between the home and the school. So Latino parents, Latino immigrant parents need to know that they need to come to school, and they need to know what are they expected in all this.
Galindo says, ideally, we'd have more people of color going into teaching, but we're a long way off. And in the meantime, there are things schools could be doing. This week, the Center for American Progress and the National Education Association, the nation's largest teachers union, reported that while half of the students in public schools are non-white, fewer than one in five of their teachers is non-white. Is that a factor in how effective a teacher can be?
I don't necessarily think that a teacher needs to be Latino to be a good teacher for Latino kids, but I do think that teachers need to have an open perspective in terms of cultural differences. Of course, if you have a Latino teacher, there are some cultural understandings that the teacher already have, so their learning process to deal and to work with these kids is going to be different.
How much of what we've been discussing here, certainly the positive developments in community involvement, parental involvement, is there evidence that it is getting better?
I think in some areas it is. In areas where there's a strong commitment towards community schools and bringing families and the neighborhood into school, things are getting better. But I think schools have a lot of responsibility in this. They need to strongly believe that it's a good investment to bring parents and the communities, and they need to support parents' efforts and respect and appreciate the qualities that parents bring to school.
There's been a lot of research saying Black and Latino students perform substantially less well than their white counterparts. This is what's referred to as the achievement gap. Pedro Noguera is a sociologist at New York University. He thinks we should be framing this disparity in a completely different way.
I would focus primarily on what I and many others now call the opportunity to learn. And by that I mean we have a number of obstacles that limit educational opportunities for children of color, particularly when they're low income. And those have to do with the school conditions, whether the school is safe, whether the school has adequate resources to meet the needs, whether the teachers are well-trained and skilled to meet their needs. Those issues are very, very important, and we don't spend nearly enough time focused on them. We tend to focus on achievement as though it's really just an issue for the student, and we totally overlook the learning environment and the context where learning occurs.
Now, the things that you listed are things that schools, policymakers have some control over. But what about the conditions that schools have no control over? How important are those factors?
Those factors are critical. We know that over 50% of student achievement is influenced by what's happening outside of school. And that includes everything from parental expectations and the parental education even. College-educated parents can do more for their children in terms of helping with homework and spending money for private tutors and for summer camp that really impact a child. But on top of that, if you're in a neighborhood where there are gangs, where there are environmental hazards, toxic waste, crime, violence, all those things have a negative impact on student learning outcomes. And then when you consider that so many, over 50% of Latino and African American students right now are attending schools that are not only racially segregated, but segregated by socioeconomic status. That is, we concentrate the poorest kids in the worst schools throughout this country. All of that takes a toll on learning outcomes.
Now, some of your research has suggested that these things are not insurmountable. In your book, Invisible No More, you write that there are more than 3,000 high-performing, high-poverty schools in this country. What are they doing that's different or better to get struggling students to succeed?
Well, schools like those, and these are schools in many cases where they're serving Latino students, many of whom are recent immigrants from the very poorest families. But what they've done is they put in place strategies to meet the learning needs of the students and to address some of the non-academic needs, the social needs, health, safety, mentorship that children bring. And I'll give you one example. I work with a school in the South Bronx. It's a school for recent immigrants. It's a school with a 95% graduation rate. 40% of those kids are undocumented, and they make sure that all of those kids are going into work-related internships so that they will be in productive jobs when they get out of school. It's a very deliberate, focused approach on how to serve students that in other schools would be very at risk and in many cases drop out.
So if we know what works, why isn't it more widespread? Why aren't we seeing more schools do it?
You know, simply put, we don't learn enough from success. We have this kind of generalized narrative out there of failure. What it does is it often reinforces the idea that somehow the parents or the children themselves don't value education. That's not the issue. The real focus should be on how to create more schools that can meet the needs of the kids. If that's where our policymakers were focused, we would enact different kinds of policies than we do now.
Let me raise this more prickly question about race and academic achievement. Is there a link here? Are these two things connected in terms of the outcomes that we're seeing?
Yes, they are connected. They're connected in the data, right? So we can see the correlation. But the source of it really lies in the pervasive stereotypes about race. Stereotypes that reinforce the notion that Latino kids or Black kids are not as smart, that they're better as athletes or better as workers than they are at using their brains. The danger of those stereotypes is that they also influence the attitudes of children themselves. And they reinforce this idea that somehow it's not cool to be smart. And so we see kids who don't read and don't develop habits that reinforce intellectual achievement and cognitive development.
Where are we today in terms of providing every child a quality education in this country?
We are very far from where we should be. We have far too many schools where our kids are either not graduating or if they do graduate, are not prepared for college. We have too many kids going into college who are unprepared. This is a huge problem, and it poses a major challenge to our entire society. And that's what people need to realize. This is not a Latino problem. This is not a Black problem. It's an American problem. Because when large numbers of people are not able to lead productive lives, they're not able to get good jobs, to take care of their families, they become a burden on our economy. And we are not able to grow and develop a society. Older white Americans should be the most concerned about making sure that young Latino and Black children are being well-educated, because it is those children in the years ahead who will be taking care of them.
It's largely an issue of communication. Parents talking to their children's teachers, educators talking with each other, and each of us letting our legislators know where we really want our tax dollars spent.